Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, and Republicans are flailing. That's right, they are desperate to avoid the public finding out what's happening to Donald Trump and his impeachment. So what they're doing is they are trying to interrupt the proceedings, actually breaking U.S. law, House rules, going into the intelligence locations. They're called SCIFs. They're secret compartmented locations that – well, they're not that secret, actually. I should get the exact word for SCIF. Here we go. The SCIF is a sensitive compartmented information facility that is used to discuss sensitive matters like those on that they're discussing on the Intelligence Committee. And they intervened because the damage is so great. We just heard this week from Ambassador Taylor, the ambassador to Ukraine, the guy kind of in the center of it all that did not want to be. And what we've learned is that the thing that Donald Trump confessed to, namely to trying to get the Ukraine to go after the Bidens, trying to get China also to research the Bidens. The same thing that he said on the phone call as well. Well, guess what? Lots and lots of emails, texts back and forth between him, between Ambassador Sondland, who was kind of the Trump lackey who gave $1 million to his campaign. All of them making clear that the quid pro quo was explicit. We would not help Ukraine, a country that's invaded by Russia, literally has Russian troops on its soil right now, occupying Crimea and the eastern half of Ukraine. We would let the Ukrainians die, let our allies die, let this buffer state between Russia and the free countries of Europe, let it collapse. Unless Donald Trump got the president of Ukraine to say publicly that he was going to investigate the Bidens. You see, he didn't even have to investigate. What Trump wanted was simply the announcement, because he knew the announcement would then come over to the U.S. press, a bunch of people would believe it, and he could use it to win. So he was using hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayer money to force Ukraine to get involved in his reelection to help him out. Now, of course, Donald Trump did use Russian help to get elected in 2016, so clearly he realizes he can't get elected without the help of foreign intervention. But Ukraine didn't want to do it. They didn't want to do the quid pro quo. The new prime minister, Zelensky, the third in just a few years, was elected specifically as the anti-corruption president. In fact, you may remember this guy was on a television show about an ordinary teacher who suddenly became president of Ukraine because he spoke out against corruption. And lo and behold, the actor ran for president against corruption. And Donald Trump really didn't care about any corruption in Ukraine, except he wanted the Ukrainian government to make up some dirt about Joe Biden and his son. He also wanted them, by the way, to claim that he was investigating as to whether or not the Russians really did make Donald Trump president. See, even though all of our intelligence agencies said that Russia intervened in our election, and even though no one who's looked at the facts can dispute it, Donald Trump doesn't like the fact that he didn't win on his own. And so it's very important for him to come up with this cockamamie conspiracy theory that maybe Ukraine has the servers, the DNC servers. which doesn't even make sense because the servers aren't physical things. What the Russians did is they committed espionage in order to hack in to certain members of the Democratic National Committee to steal their emails. There aren't even DNC servers in Russia, much less Ukraine. The point of all of this is that the walls are closing in around Donald Trump. The evidence is overwhelming. The evidence of a quid pro quo is overwhelming. And so now you find Republicans changing their tune, moving the goalposts, such as it were. First they said, well, you know, we don't know that the president did this. And now they say, okay, the president did this, but maybe it wasn't a quid pro quo. And now they're saying, okay, it was a quid pro quo, but it's okay. In fact, the president, the former acting attorney general, you remember that guy, the guy that was there before William Barr, went on the news just the other day and said, an abuse of power is not impeachable. Even if the president is abusing his power, even if he's lining his pockets, even if he's grabbing hundreds of millions of dollars and using it to help himself in his political campaign, it's an abuse of power. It's not a crime. It's not a crime, he said. There's no crime called abuse of power. Just because the president is taking all this taxpayer money and using it to get foreign officials to help him in his reelection, what's the crime, they say? Well, there's several crimes. I mean, you find Chris Cuomo on the air saying, well, it doesn't have to be a crime in the sense of a violation of federal law. And that's true. I mean, Alexander Hamilton wrote that impeachment is about high crimes and misdemeanors, or impeachment or treason or bribery. That's what it says in the Constitution. But it's not necessarily about an individual crime in the federal code. And while that's true, there are a lot of crimes on the president's plate. The main one, extortion. Blackmail. Extortion is the fancy name. Extortion is when you say, you do this, or I'm going to do something to you. You give me a bunch of money, or I'm going to kill your family. Or in Ukraine's case, you make up a lie about Joe Biden and announce it, or I'm going to let Russians invade your country and kill your countrymen. Actually, threatening to kill yourself, threatening to kill someone, if someone sticks a gun to your head and says, give me all your money. By the way, doesn't have to be a quid pro quo. Someone could stick their gun to your head and say, give me all your money, without saying, or I'll shoot. So Republicans would say, if you just stick a gun to someone's head and say, give me all your money, that's not a crime unless you say, give me all your money or I'll shoot you. But see, the shooting is implied. Ukraine knew we were holding up military aid. Zelensky specifically mentions the military aid, and Donald Trump says, I'd like you to do me a favor, though. Right? We'll give you the aid, but you got to do me a favor, though. Actually, when I think about it, Donald Trump's quid pro quo is a lot more clear than the guy holding a gun to your head and asking for your money. But the point is, they say it's not a crime. But extortion is a crime. It's also bribery, which is expressly outlined in the Constitution as something that you can't do. In fact, Congress is required to impeach and remove from office any federal official guilty of bribery. And what was Donald Trump doing? He was bribing the Ukrainian prime minister, the Ukrainian president, saying, I know you don't want to do this investigation. I know you found no facts to find that Biden's did no wrong. I need you to break your laws, do things that you don't want to do. And if you do, I'll give you that money that you need for anti-tank missiles against the Russians. But of course, it's so much worse than bribery and so much worse than extortion. Because the president isn't even offering his own money. If the president were saying, I'll give you $500 million from my pocket if you make up a lie about Joe Biden, well, that would be bribery. That would be extortion. But at least he'd be using his own money. The fact that he's stealing our money, duly appropriated funds from Congress in order to bribe the Ukrainian president, makes the thing all the worse. I mean, it's a crime even to solicit a donation from a foreign government. And don't get me started on the Emoluments Clause of the United States Constitution, which says that you cannot take any gift from a foreign state without the approval of Congress. And this isn't even a bribe or an extortion. This isn't even misuse of taxpayer funds. The evidence is overwhelming. And when the evidence is overwhelming, they say in law school, if you don't have the law, pound the facts. If you don't have the facts, pound the law. And if you don't have the law or the facts, pound the table. And that's what the Republicans did just yesterday. They pounded the table. They invaded a sensitive compartmented information facility where the Democrats and the Republicans, where 100 members of Congress were going in there and investigating witnesses. And when the Republicans say, well, committees have no place in Congress. How dare only 100 people do the work? We should have all 435 people do the work. I want to get into a little more detail after the break exactly why this is a really bad idea and why it is that Republicans are flailing so much. If you want to call in, it's 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. So, as the Democrats focus in on getting all this information about the quid pro quo, and as these very reasonable diplomats, these people in the Foreign Service, are basically coming forward, longtime people like Ambassador Taylor, who has served his country for 30 years or so, was appointed by George W. Bush, served under President Obama as well. And frankly, didn't want the job. I mean, this is a guy who said, look, you know, do you really need me? And Secretary Pompeo said, yeah, we need an experienced hand. We've just fired a very experienced person, Marie Yovanovitch, for no reason. And she was fired for no reason other than these same conspiracy theories that the president believes. So they fired their experienced hand. They bring in another experienced hand, and they tell him, hey, we need you to go off book. Don't go through the State Department. Don't go through these experts. Go through Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani has this scheme, and the scheme is to get Donald Trump reelected. And to do so, you've got to get him to pretend to investigate the Bidens, just announce that investigation. And I know he wants to see Zelensky wants to see the President of the United States in person. He was invited to the White House. And I know he's worried about Russian troops in his country. So he's going to want to do us a little favor, though. He's going to want us to pretend that Ukraine, not Russia, hacked into the 2016 election. He's going to want us to investigate the Bidens, even though Hunter Biden was doing not great things, but nothing worse, in fact, far, far less than what Donald Trump's kids do right now, Ivanka, Don Jr., profiting off the presidency. So the Republicans did not like this information coming out. And they decided to invade the SCIF, Schiff's SCIF, the Sensitive Compartmented Information Facility, where we find that they were preparing the case for impeachment. Now, why are they preparing it in secret? Well, for the same reason that police, when they're investigating a crime, look at the documents in secret too, prior to the indictment. So an impeachment is the same as an indictment. An indictment is when you accuse someone of a crime. It happens before you arrest someone, for example. And criminals, people who've committed crimes, are actually, and I don't know if you're surprised to hear this, they are not allowed to invade the police station and riffle through the files before they're even indicted, before they're even arrested. They're just not allowed to do that because first you have to prepare the case. And then after you prepare the case, you issue the indictment, and then everything comes clear. That's why Adam Schiff has made very clear that he's going to release all of the witness statements, all of the testimony. He's going to release it at the time of the impeachment hearings. So why not release it now? Well, the reason is very simple. You don't want witnesses to change their stories to get their stories straight, right? You got four people robbing a bank. The police are allowed to investigate each of the four individually and ask them questions prior to their being indicted, prior to their actually standing trial. And they want to see. They want to see what one guy says against the other. You're not allowed, the people accused of a crime do not have a right to hear all the witnesses and see all the witness statements prior to trial. And that's the way it works. As it turns out, though, Trump has every reason to know what's going on because there's 100 members of Congress in that room, including some 50 Republicans. Technically, I think it's 48 Republicans and 53 Democrats. But one quarter of the Republican Party is already in that room, including such toadies, Trump toadies, as Jim Jordan, right? He's in the room. He knows the information. But what he can't do is take a transcript and then give it to Trump, who will give it to a witness who can then study the transcript and say, oh, I have to tell the truth here to match Ambassador Taylor, who's an honorable person, to match his story. I have to tell the truth here. Oh, Taylor didn't mention this. Okay, I can lie about this, and so forth. And that's why you don't give witness statements prior to trial. Now, after the thing is fully investigated, which I suspect will happen in November, a couple weeks from now, then all the information will be made public. I suspect the House will bring back people like Ambassador Taylor to testify in public. At least I hope they do. By all indications, Ambassador Taylor's testimony was quite damning, quite destructive. They can bring Sondland back. And that's the sort of the toady Republican ambassador, the guy that gave $1 million to Donald Trump, who claimed that he didn't realize that even though he knew that there was a quid pro quo with military aid, he didn't realize that Burisma had anything to do with the Bidens, which is kind of weird. Like, you think you'd ask. You think you'd do a Google search. You think you might listen to some of the things that Giuliani had said publicly on television. But he says, no, I didn't know. Well, now Taylor says he does know. So now Sondland has to worry. Did he just commit perjury before Congress? But if you let every witness see every witness statement prior to their giving their statement, well, people can be less likely to tell the truth. And that is a staple of criminal law. So what's going to happen? Well, after another couple weeks of this, Adam Schiff, the Democrats, are going to give all the information to the public. They're going to bring a few more people to testify in. And I suspect that prior to the end of the year, we are going to have a formal vote on impeachment. So today I want to add one more letter. I've been spelling out impeachment now for about 2 years. We're at I-M-P-E-A-C-H-M-E. That's right. We're that close. I do think the President of the United States, Donald Trump, will be impeached prior to the end of December. Now, don't get me wrong, impeachment does not mean conviction. Impeachment is the indictment. It's the process by which the House, by a majority vote, accuses Donald Trump of committing treason, bribery, or high crimes and misdemeanors, and then will be the question of whether or not he'll be convicted. And that trial will go to the Senate right after the new year. Got any questions? Give me a call, 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. The impeachment hearings are really dividing America into two camps. What we're doing is we are really seeing who wants to look at facts and who just wants to believe in their side. And I have to say, it's a little scary how many Americans are just going to believe whatever Fox News tells them to believe and aren't going to look at other sources. And they actually believe that not just MSNBC, but CNN and the Washington Post and the New York Times and ABC and CBS and NBC and PBS and AP and Reuters and the Wall Street Journal, owned by Rupert Murdoch, the very same guy who owns Fox News, are all lying to them. That's a little weird, right? Why do they think, and maybe that's one of the reasons why when I was on Fox News a couple weeks ago on the Lori Ingram show, talking with her about impeachment, I raised the Wall Street Journal. Because the Wall Street Journal said that Republican Senator Ron Johnson was worried when he learned there was this quid pro quo on Ukraine. I actually want to think about that. Think about that. Rupert Murdoch, the owner of Fox News, the only agency, the only film, the only news that conservatives trust, which is weird in and of itself, right? If 1,000 people tell you the earth is round and one guy says the earth is flat, it's very weird to say, I believe the guy that says the earth is flat. I don't believe, you know, the 100 people that say it's round, right? That's weird in itself. But Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox News, this Australian billionaire magnate who every conservative mindlessly says, I must believe whatever he says, owns the Wall Street Journal. And the Wall Street Journal, though it's got a terrible editorial page, has independent reporters who do independent factual news. And one of their articles very clearly said that Republican, Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson was worried back in September when he heard, in fact, he said it made him wince when he heard that the president was conditioning military aid to Ukraine to fight off the Russian troops in his territory in order for them to do a favor to Donald Trump's reelection campaign by creating false investigations against Joe Biden. Right? If Rupert Murdoch's paper prints this, can you believe that now? But listen, most Republicans don't want to know. I can tell you this, the elected ones, the ones I speak to, the politicians, they all know Donald Trump's corrupt. They all know it. They say so in private. They're like, oh God, this guy is a liar. This guy is unhinged. But I can't say that publicly. If I did, I wouldn't get reelected. So we have this weird chicken and egg problem where Republican people don't know the truth because their politicians won't tell them the truth. And they won't tell them the truth because they know that their people are being lied to, and they won't get reelected if they tell the truth to the people because the people believe the lies caused by Republicans not telling them the truth. Did you follow that? It's a little tricky. Basically, what they're saying is they all have to jump off together. Very few people like Mitt Romney, Jeff Flake, honorable Republicans who are willing to say, look, I care more about my country than I do about power. I believe in the oath of office. I believe in the Constitution. I believe that when I raise my right hand and promise to defend the Constitution of the United States, I'm going to do that, even if it means I won't get reelected. Even in the Nixon impeachment scandal, even in Watergate, it took a very long time for Republicans to jump off until the smoking gun tapes came out, and then they all sort of ran together. One of the things you should know about politicians, we tend to run in packs. It's one of the things I don't like about politicians, even though I am one, is, oh, everyone else is doing that. There's safety in numbers. It's the same reason why sheep run together or antelope. They're less likely to be picked off if you're in the middle of the pack. It's not courageous. It's not honorable. It shows no integrity. It shows fear and really cowardice. But as the dam is breaking, as Republican Foreign Services officers are complaining, as people who served in the FBI and the CIA, the National Security Establishment, people in the military, people who defended our allies, the Kurdish people, as they retreat in surrender, as the Russians take over the Middle East because Donald Trump says, hey, Russia, take over the Middle East. Russia, Turkey, all our enemies. Iran, Hezbollah, ISIS. You can have the Middle East. Take it all. Just don't release that tape you're blackmailing me with, or whatever it is, whatever compromat the Russians have on him. And I suspect that tape, the one with the urinating prostitutes, I suspect it probably is real. After all, we've never seen a president be so solicitous to our enemies before. I mean, when I think about great traitors in American history, I think, I guess, about Benedict Arnold, who did serve and had troops as a general of the Continental Army. He was on our side and then switched to the other side. But, you know, we didn't have a country then. And he certainly wasn't president of the United States. In giving Syria to the Russians, in giving Iraq to the Russians, in giving Turkey to the Russians, in giving all the power in the Middle East to ISIS, to deserting our allies, deserting the Kurdish people, actually harming Israel, which also is being harmed by the coalition of ISIS and Hezbollah and Iran and Russia and Syria, in giving up Ukraine, right? Ukraine, which fought so hard to get away from the Russians and to join the West, to join the world's democracies, and saying, Russia, you can have Ukraine. There are got to be some Republicans who are willing to speak out on what they know is wrong. Even Mitch McConnell, a man who never saw a principle ever in his life, it's all about power, recognizes that surrendering to Russia isn't popular even among Republicans. It's not just Democrats that don't want to surrender the United States to Russia. Most Republicans don't want to surrender the United States to Russia either. Ronald Reagan famously fought the evil empire, and Ronald Reagan is doing flip-flops in his grave. So as Republicans start to realize that this increasingly erratic, unstable president is flailing around and trying to pull everyone down with him, how many will escape? This may not be the best metaphor, but one of the things they taught me when I took advanced life safety, which is how to save someone who's drowning, is when they're drowning, people flail around and they grab wherever they can. And they said, unless you're really strong, don't jump in the water. Use a stick. Use a post. Let them grab the stick. Because in them trying to save their lives, they will push you under. And that's what we have from the President of the United States. He's trying desperately to save his political life, and he's pushing everyone under. Rudy Giuliani will certainly serve some time in jail. And I think the Attorney General, Bill Barr, is going to have an orange jumpsuit, and Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, as well. And one of the reasons why people are testifying, despite the fact that Donald Trump has ordered them, don't testify. Don't tell the truth. Don't tell people what I've done. Don't you know how corrupt I am? Keep it secret. I mean, even these two Ukrainian goons that worked for and with Rudy Giuliani, right? Lev and Igor. You seen them on the news? They're saying, it's executive privilege. That's why we're not going to talk. I have never heard of foreign agents having executive privilege before. That's a new one. That's a new argument. Executive privilege refers to conversations between the president and his close staff. It actually does not prohibit finding out criminal conversations. The great case of United States v. Nixon was a 9-0 Supreme Court decision that said you can't claim executive privilege when the president's busy committing crimes. 9-0, unanimous decision. But Lev and Igor say, wait a minute, the president was conducting foreign policy through us. Really? Through you? Not through the State Department? Not through the Foreign Service? Not through the Defense Department? Not through the CIA? Not through the FBI? But through you, Lev and Igor, Russian-Ukrainian agents who are clients of Rudy Giuliani, you are conducting official American foreign policy? If that's true, and it could be true in this administration, I don't think it claims executive privilege because they were outside the normal formal uses of power, right? You can't just say, oh, yeah, I ordered my lawyer to knock off my political opponent. But hey, attorney-client privilege. You can't do that. There's not even attorney-client privilege when you're ordering a crime. So they're flailing. President of the United States, just this week, his lawyers went into a New York courtroom and said, we're not going to turn over the president's tax returns. And the court said, you have to. The law says you have to. And he said, nope. The president is above the law. That was the point of what he was saying. And so the court was trying to figure out, well, how above the law is the president? Because those weren't the exact words of the lawyer, right? His indication was the president has temporary immunity from all laws while he's president of the United States. The only thing you can do to stop a criminal president is impeachment. So the court asked the lawyer, he said, well, let's take that example Donald Trump always gives about shooting people on Fifth Avenue. Let's say the president of the United States is gunning down people. Are you saying the police can't stop him? Are you saying the police can't arrest him? And the lawyer said, nope. Nope. Can't arrest him. He can keep gunning down those people. You can't arrest him. You could impeach him. You'd have to have a formal vote of the House. And then the Senate would have to have two-thirds of conviction. And then you could go after the president. I don't know how many people he would have killed on Fifth Avenue in the meantime. But the president is immune from the law. In fact, his lawyer said, not only could you not arrest him, not only could you not indict him, you could not even investigate. Let's say there were rumors the president shot someone dead on Fifth Avenue. Could you call the witnesses in and say, hey, did you see Donald Trump pull the trigger and shoot that man? Donald Trump's lawyer says you can't even ask a witness that question. This is way beyond Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon, they said, you can't indict him. You can investigate. That's what the special counsel was doing. Clinton, you can investigate. That's what the special counsel was doing. You just can't indict. It's really Robert Mueller who came up with this new idea that we can't even say whether the president has committed the crime of obstruction of justice. We'll lay out all the evidence. But we can't even say because of this idea that the president is above the law. But how does it stop? Well, even according to Donald Trump's lawyers, only stops with impeachment. Basically, according to Donald Trump's lawyers, the president can rob a bunch of liquor stores, shoot a bunch of people, steal billions of dollars, stick it in a Swiss bank account, can rob America blind, and until that guy is impeached and convicted, we can't do anything about it. Now, I don't think he's right. But if he is right, that's just another ground for impeachment. In fact, it's a ground for impeachment as soon as possible. It's Mark Levine. Feel free to call in at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. We are heading into the final days now. And what we're doing is the Democrats are following the exact same rules that Republicans set up when they controlled the House. Rules about subpoenas, rules about testimony. And the reason why you interview witnesses separately is so they don't get their stories straight. The reason why is because witnesses tend to talk to each other, even though it's illegal, even though it's not allowed. And in fact, Eric Swalwell said today that that's exactly what witnesses are doing. So that's why only one quarter, one fourth, more than a fourth actually, of Republicans are in the room during these hearings. Only 100 members of Congress, a little more than 100, are in the room, not all 435. And the Republicans can ask questions. In fact, the Democrats are giving Republicans equal time to ask questions. But what they don't want is the witnesses talking to each other. For example, I suspect that Ambassador Bolton, former National Security Advisor John Bolton, is going to be a key witness. Because he didn't want to get involved in the Giuliani drug deal, as he called it. He didn't want to get involved in the quid pro quo. That's probably, and I predicted this weeks ago, why he lost his job. Bolton is a warmonger. Bolton does not have the foreign policy I support. But he has enough integrity to not want to use American foreign policy, not use American taxpayer dollars, to funnel it into the Trump's reelection campaign. He doesn't want to use our power to extort a foreign nation to rig our elections. I don't want Bolton to hear the testimony. I don't want people to talk to him because he may well tell us the truth. So that's why they have to do this all in quiet until just a few weeks from now when Adam Schiff is going to release all of the testimony. But my friends, it's not just Ukraine. There's a question of whether Donald Trump was pushing China to investigate the Bidens. Wow, where do I get this crazy idea? Well, the president said so publicly on the White House lawn. He said that he was pushing China to investigate the Bidens. Yet another country. And in fact, when his trade representative, Peter Navarro, was asked about it, did the president do it? Navarro refused to answer. I want to play that clip just briefly for you.
You don't have a right to know what happens behind closed doors in the administration. And the only way
I think the American people have a right to know if politics have entered trade negotiations.
Let me just answer this. I mean, the problem that I've seen over the last 3 years in Washington is that there's just too many stories that are reported based on anonymous sources inevitably get it wrong. So well, I don't know. Do we want to spend this time doing that?
I'm asking you a direct question. Did you bring up investigating the Bidens as part of the negotiation?
In my judgment. Okay?
Why not?
You're asking me what happens in the White House behind closed doors.
Well, I'm asking if politics the sphere of international relations here.
Jim. Ask and answer.
Asked and definitely not answered. Definitely not answered. He basically said, if the president tells me to commit a crime, I'm not going to tell you. Why would I tell you something that would get us all locked up? No, the question was, did the president appropriately use foreign policy or did he break the law and commit an impeachable offense? And Navarro's answer is, I'm not going to tell you. Asked and not answered. We have never had the level of criminal conspiracy in the White House that we have today. What Richard Nixon did cannot be compared. Richard Nixon didn't sacrifice U.S. national security to get reelected. Yeah, they tried to plant a bug in the Democratic National Committee headquarters. Some of his people did that, and Nixon covered it up. They didn't even get any information. He didn't even get to use it in his election. Richard Nixon won a landslide victory in 1972 without having to use the results of his attempted espionage. And it wasn't even foreign espionage, whereas Donald Trump was elected precisely because of foreign espionage, which is why he has so far asked Russia, Ukraine, China, Italy, and Great Britain, all of them, he has extorted and pushed to help him in his reelection. This is a president that knows he's a failure and knows that only if he can rig another election can he get reelected. And the question for America is, will the Republicans ever want to see the whole truth, ever want to do the right thing, or are they always going to put themselves over their country? This is Mark Levine, signing off.